Well, Alya Howe joins the program now. Welcome, Alya.
Hi, Luke. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. Welcome back to Express Yourself. I'll tell you, this program will be boring without you, but you already knew that.
I know. I am grateful for the opportunities that come in my direction to share my love of performance art.
Well, Alya, before you were a storyteller, before you were a curator, before you were a spark plug in the local art scene, you were a dancer. And yes, you have a dance event coming up very soon. Tell me about it.
This dance event is a commission from Dance Initiative and some great local people who have also chipped in just to help with bringing the dancers in from Denver. But this was about how to create in COVID. And I've been working probably for over 10 years, yes, longer, on disappearing women and women's issues. And it just rears its energy in many, many of my dance works. And this one is particularly focused on the disappeared women from indigenous tribes, from the Mexican border towns. I mean, it's all over the world. It's in our cities. And these women and girls and young boys, actually, feel like prey. They're not protected. And when they're kidnapped or disappeared, there's very, very little press or searching that is done. It's like, oh, she's probably a runaway. You know, you were poor, dysfunctional families. And it's just disproportionate to the amount of advertising and news features and articles and press that happens for more privileged white people who disappear than it is for our sisters and brothers of color. And they're vulnerable, and it just happens that I was working on this before the Black Lives Matters came up, but Black Lives always should matter. And the lens that is being shown on this can really help, I think, focus on this issue of disappeared women, too.
I understand this is part of a trilogy.
It is, and I showed the first work, Trapped, as a fundraiser for Dance Initiative and a membership drive, and I had this beautiful retired ballerina from the Joffrey Ballet come up and perform it, and I shared a poem that inspired this rendition of this work by Jessica Helen Lopez about Diana the Huntress. And Diana the Huntress was a vigilante woman who actually murdered bus drivers taking women to work in the factories, who had been part and parcel of disappearing women, murdering them, torturing them. The whole story about what's happening on the border is just an atrocity. Oh. And Jessica Helen Lopez's poem, Diana the Huntress, really is a masterful work speaking about that. So that piece done earlier on this summer, Trapped, involved a dancer being trapped inside a box, a set built by Sean Jeffries, and literally buried in sunflower seeds.
Wow. There's a lot to unpack there. I guess the first question would be, this is still a work in progress, isn't it? And what people will see Saturday night is not a finished product, or is it?
I would say we're pretty close to being finished. We're not in a theater, and this piece was going to be shown as the micro, as part of the Micro Dance Festival, which was happening just when the fires broke out in Glenwood Canyon, the Grizzly Creek fire. And my dancers would have, Independence Pass was closed, Cottonwoods Pass was closed, and my dancers would have had to have driven like 10 hours to get here and 10 hours to get back.
Yikes.
And we just called it. And so this I was thinking, do I present an evening of different work? And because I had to socially space this piece, it's more of a horizontal piece than it is upstage to downstage, you know, a deep piece. I decided that I will show the work three times, and I will, first of all, let the audience just see the work, and then I will talk a little bit about the process, and have the dancers share a little bit about the process and what it was like rehearsing on Zoom instead of in person. Oh. I actually really rather like creating a work over Zoom. And then going off and refining in person. That this has been a new exciting COVID experience or COVID-stimulated experience. It's quite possible to choreograph over Zoom.
Well, I was just going to ask, how did you do it? I mean, how does that work? Take me through some of the specifics of that.
The specifics are we're both in a space where we can move, and I first of all introduced them to the theme and what their roles were going to be. I've got this beautiful young dancer called Lucy Stewart, who would be going to Juilliard. But because of COVID, she will not be going until later this fall. So there is a gift. And I talked to her about what the piece is, that she was going to be portraying a disappeared girl who is moving from the veil of being with her community to the veil of being disappeared. Where is she? Is she alive? Is she not alive? And so talking about the piece, and then I would start building the choreography on her. I would demonstrate it, and I would ask her to try this. There was a moment where I said, please improvise being trapped. And I would just watch her, and I would just then say, keep that. And then let's add that to this. And so it's been a collaborative process in many ways as well. So I'm working with two gorgeous Denver dancers, Alana Ortiz, who is playing the mother figure, and Lucy Stewart, who is playing a disappeared daughter figure. And then I have four local dancers, Claudia Pena and Eric Pena, Flora Paz and Claudia Paul, who are also dancing disappeared people and never found. And they're another section. So to present it three times will actually give the audience the luxury of being able to really see it, because it's a wide angle piece, and focus on different aspects of what they want to watch each time. And dance is probably one of the more elusive of art forms. I'll often have audience members speak to me afterwards, I loved it, but I didn't know what it meant. And there is only what it meant to you as being the right interpretation of the piece. But I will share what it meant to me and what do you see within the piece. And so it will also be an immersive evening of showing the piece three times and having conversations, depending on temperature, either in between or at the end. I want to keep the dancers safe and warm. So it's a great opportunity to learn more about choreographic process, rehearsal process, how the dancers felt about it, challenges and opportunities faced during the pandemic and how we worked through them, and how this piece might look different in a theater to out in nature. I just feel extraordinarily fortunate to be able to create with such incredible artists. It's been a real treat for me.
Alia, choreography has always mystified me. I've always wondered how it is you go from a concept or an idea to movement, how that works. And like, for instance, you just mentioned the real collaborative aspect of it. But when you first came up with this idea, do you have ideas of movement that, let's say, you practice yourself in front of a mirror, or does it depend on working with somebody in real time?
There are many ways. When I feel about something and it bothers me, I feel it in my body, in my cells, and in my bones. What do I choose to do with those feelings? Sometimes I write them out in story. Sometimes I write them out in poetry. I definitely dream about them, and I dream pictures and images, like I saw empty dresses hanging on a washing line. I saw empty dresses left on the floors of stage, and then I began to think, how do I get the dancers in and out of these dresses? What do I do? How do I play with that? And then also from a feeling, when we feel things, we feel them in our body. And I let myself move those feelings. And from moving those feelings, I begin to develop a vocabulary. And I begin to choreograph at home, in the studio, and I give the dancers the same process so that I can watch and see how they move those feelings. And is it different for me? And if it is different, fabulous. We can expand the vocabulary. And I research a lot, Luke. I look at photographs. I look at film. I read articles. I like to speak about events on a local level and on a global level, and also run them through my own inner world that it informs an expanding perspective, and I hope for beautiful and viable solutions. Dancers are for me, even when they are in, well, all emotions for me are actually really beautiful, because it's allowing someone to feel the beauty of being alive. And whenever there's an up, there's always a down. So I don't try and make light of a not light subject. But I like us to, as humans, see the beauty of the human condition in pain, and also reflect, could I do something about that? Even just bringing awareness and alertness helps us do things like that. And as I was thinking about talking with you, Luke, I feel like I am blessed with the opportunity to express from my heart what is deeply meaningful to me, and I think meaningful in the world, and to try and offer perspectives and solutions.
You know what? You know what, though? You clarified a few things for me as I listened to you. Oh, yeah. Number one is you talk about you let people feel because it's being alive. And I would add to that, it's being alive in a body. And that's what you're working with. You're not working with words or music or paint. You're working with bodies. And so all of a sudden, I made a connection that dance is very immediate with emotions, isn't it? I didn't really get that until you described that. The other thing I discovered that was useful for me to think about, as I said, I've always been mystified by it, but it helps me to think that you're portraying a story. I didn't really think of it that way before, so that's interesting.
I am portraying a story, but I can tell you that I have worked for choreographers who are not telling a story other than, hell, we're in bodies, we can move them, how fun, let's explore different patterns of movement.
Well, that's kind of a story, isn't it? I mean... like, for instance, when you're in a crowd, you know, some people, a writer might tune into how people talk, or an actor, but I guess a choreographer and a dancer might tune into how people move. Is that a source of inspiration for you?
Oh, gosh, yes. When I was doing the work, The Herd, Herd Consciousness, How Do We Change Herd Mentality, all I could think about at that time was negative herds. And then I heard that the Indian Saint Amma was coming to Santa Fe, and I was like, my God, she draws herds of people to come and be hugged. And so off I drove to Santa Fe to experience a really positive herd. And some of my experiences there, I put into the choreography.
Huh. Interesting. That's really interesting. So this performance, Saturday night, what time does it start? Where is it? How do people get tickets?
It's Saturday night, and it starts promptly at 6:30 p.m. because we have a light issue.
Oh.
So the sun will be setting, and I want there to be enough light and enough warmth. So we'll start really sharp at 6:30 p.m. and I'll say hi to everyone, and then we'll run through the first piece, and I'll speak a little, and it will go from 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. It's Saturday, September the 19th, and it's at the Thompson House, which is a historic building. It's outside, so everyone will be socially distanced and does need to reserve their seats, whether they are in a family or a friend pod. Everyone will be distanced 12 feet apart, so whether it's individuals or small pods, you need to reserve so the seats can be set up mindfully and safely. Ticket prices are $15 for adults, $7 for children, and you can get your tickets by going to danceinitiative.org, danceinitiative.org, and yeah, there are limited numbers of seats, so please come and support live arts in the community. I can't thank Dance Initiative enough for spearheading live and safely distance events in the Valley and giving me the opportunity to create a new work. And these dances are beautiful, and you'll get a chance to see the work three times through, which is unusual. And you'll get a chance to talk to us about the work, which is also unusual. And it may give you a doorway into the window of how to feel into and respond to what you're seeing in the world of dance and choreography.
Wow, sounds like a really interesting evening. Alya Howe, thank you so much for sharing with us.
Oh, Luke, thank you so much for having me on.